Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Pei Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we started a Tanaic source that completed at the top of Pei Ches. The starting of it, the beginning was at the bottom of Pei Zayin with Beis, and at that section of the source, there was a presentation made of Rebbe Huda and Rebbe Meir of the list of vessels that we call the liquid vessels, or clay lach. These are vessels designed for measuring liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe Huda and Rebbe Meir presented essentially the same exact list. The only difference being is that Rebbe Yehuda presented it in an ascending order, namely from smallest quantity up to largest quantity, from the Revius Lug up till a Hin. Rebbe Meir, on the other hand, presented the same list, starting from the largest vessel, the Hin quantity vessel, listing off the seven vessels, measuring vessels, down to the Revius Halug. Our Gemara, at the upper part of Pei Ches, Omen Aleph, you'll notice at a point at which the Tanaic source, which is in a frame, ends. Then there is a two-line parentheses section from the Gemara. And then we pick up from the two dots that asks the question, Mai Iko Bein Rebbe Meir Le Rebbe Yehuda? When we just saw that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda present the same list, what is the difference between them? You'll notice in the Gemara a diamond appears around Rebbe Yochanan on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. Nosei is the word we use for title or topic heading, and Mivne, the word for structure. We often combine these two topics into one, namely the topic Sugya, the topic heading, and the structural note into one note. In this case, we've done so. Sometimes you'll find the Mivneh and the Nosei separated, as you'll see later on the page. However, in this case, the diamonds are featured. Deois lahasbir, these are opinions to explain Hahevdeil Bein Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe Meir. The diamonds, we have one around Rebbe Yochanan and the next one a few lines later around Abaye. These are opinions that will explain the difference between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir. Lamrois, the note goes on to say, Lamrois, even though, or in spite of the fact, Shishneim Nosnu Oisri Rishimo Shel Klei Lach, even though both of them, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir, gave the same list of liquid vessels. So the question is, what is the difference? Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Birutze Midois Iko Binayu. The expression Birutze is a reference to that little extra in a liquid, especially when you're dealing with something like wine or oil. These are substances, liquids that have a high viscosity to them, so that a type of dome features that when you fill the vessel up to the rim, you actually have a little more leeway or a little extra that can be filled in the vessel, where the surface tension is such that, since this is relatively thick liquids relative to water, for example, a little dome appears. That extra is called birutze midos. So this quantity will be the point of difference between these two opinions. The Gemara continues, Laman Diomar Mimato Lamalo, the opinion that says that the measure starts from the smallest amount to the largest amount, that would be Rebbe Yehuda, who started his list at the bottom of Pei Zayin with Beis with the Revius Halug and worked up till a Hin. He will hold Kosovar Birutze Hamidois Niskachu, that the dome of the liquid measures is also part of that which is sanctified. So that even though technically speaking it's outside the airspace of the vessel, but nevertheless he feels that they are also sanctified. Uravias Yohiv Le Rachmana Lemoshe. The Kodesh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu concerning a Revias Halug, and the Omar Le and the Almighty told Moshe, Sha'ir, make your calculation, de ko'aili luhu birutsim. In other words, what he's going to do is, in order to design or create a chatsi lug measure, which is twice the size of a revias halug, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, take your revias halug and pour two of these into another vessel. Now, when you take a small quantity vessel and pour its contents into a larger quantity vessel, a larger capacity vessel, you can do the following. You can afford to have a dome over the this dome, the tension, surface tension phenomenon on the smaller vessel. In other words, the vessel is filled just a bit over the rim, so to speak. Since you're pouring into a larger vessel, you pour rapidly so that all of the contents, including this dome of liquid, will fall into the larger vessel without losing any of it. That is what happens when you're measuring from a small vessel into a larger vessel. Once again, you can pour rapidly and not lose any of the contents. As a result of this, when you see the smaller quantity vessel presented first, that's indicative of the instructions to create larger vessels from the smaller size vessels. Leman de Omar Mimala Lemato, the opinion of Rebbe Meir, who said from Malo, from the larger one, Lamata, to the smaller one, who gave his list from the Hin down to the Revias Halug, Kosovar, he figures, Birutse Midois Loi Niskachu. The dome quantity of liquid is not sanctified. The Hin Yohiv Le Rachmona Le Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Hin size vessel to start with, and to create from the Hin vessel smaller vessels. The Omar Le and the Almighty told Moshe, Sha'ir, make your calculations, the Konafki Birutsim, so that the Birutsim are not included. Now, this we can explain using the opposite approach, namely, when you're measuring from a large vessel into a smaller vessel, you can't afford to pour rapidly into the smaller vessel. You have to pour slower. As a result of that, so the dome figure, the dome quantity, is not going to be included. Because if you are pouring slowly from a vessel that has a quantity above the rim, you're going to end up losing some of it. We can look in the Rashi, Ksav Yad, the fourth line under the Gemara of Rabbi Meir, the Choshev Hin Bereisho Kosovar, Lo Niskachu, the Birutsin are not sanctified. The Hin Yohiv Le Rachmono Le Moshe, the Hin vessel was given by the Almighty to Moshe to start his calculations. The Omar Lo, La Sos Mimenu Chatsi Hayinu Sushis Hahin, the Ka Vechein Haderech, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, from the Hin vessel, pour into smaller vessels, and you'll thereby be able to calculate a half hin, and then a smaller vessel, the shlishis a hin. V'chein haderech shehama'are kli godol, kugoin hin lemalas kli katan, kugoin chatsi hahin. When a person is pouring from a large vessel into a smaller vessel, birutzin nishpochen oretz, the birutzin, the dome, will be lost. It'll spill to the ground. Alma hachi kamale. Therefore, we have to understand that he was telling him thusly, Sha'ir, make your calculations, the yifgu habirutzim, so that the birutzim are not included. Turning back to the Gemara, Abaye Omar, the Kule Alma, Birutse Hamidois Iko lemeimar niskatshu, v'iko lemeimar lo niskatshu. As far as Abaye is concerned, the issue of the birutzim is not part of the machloikis. You could say they both agree that the birutzim are sanctified, and you can say that they're not sanctified. V'hocha b'mleim komifligi. Here, the point of difference is going to be based on the word meleim that appears in the pasuk. There is a pasuk that says shnehem meleim keturis. When we want a complete measure, what do we mean by that? The opinion that starts the measure from the larger to the lesser, namely that would be Rebbe Meir, he holds Malayim means Shelo Yechsar v'Shel Yosir. There should be no more and no less. Lo Yechsar, no less and no more. Here, Rashi points out this, the Rashi in the Ksav Yad mentions the, elaborates, we'll say, on that. And we will actually go on a little bit in the Gemara before learning the Rashi on this topic. Uman diomar mimato lemalo, the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who says that you measure from the smaller vessel to the larger vessel, maleim, that word maleim means shelo yechsar, that you have to make sure that there is no less than the required amount. Avol yosir maleim karina bay. If you have a little extra, that too is considered maleim. Now we'll turn to the Rashi. Rashi, again, in the Ksav Yad, the Dibor Masr, B'mleim Komifli, Dichtiv, Shneim Leim Ktoris, as we mentioned before, the Pasuk says, Shneihem Meleim Ktoris, Vuadin Lechol Hamidos, even though those are talking about dry measures, the truth, this in fact applies to all measures. Komidos Dikra, Man Dechoshiv Hin Beresha, the one who figures the larger quantity first. Kosovar Malayim, the word Malayim means Shelo Yechsav Shelo Yosir. There shall be no extra, nor any, nor no less, nor any extra. Hilkoch Yasi Hin Mitzumtzum. Therefore, you're supposed to make a hin, an exact hin measure. Umimenu Yochin Shar Hamidos Lamidas Hin, and from that you'll make the other midos, using as the original standard the hin. D'ef shelo oilom shelo yu shtei midos kitanos kishemodudo lesoch achas gedola yisero soleha. It's if you are measuring from a small vessel into a larger vessel, it's impossible that there isn't going to be a little extra when pouring from a small vessel into a large vessel. They huufya hagdoila, because of the foam that appears, that grows, that emerges. Kishimarin shnei kelim besoch kli echod. When you pour two smaller vessels into a larger capacity singular vessel, there is a foam head that develops, and that would cause, so to speak, an extra amount, and that's what happens when you're going from smaller to larger. Avol, Rashi continues, kishemoyudin behin eschatsi hahin, when you're measuring from the large vessel to the smaller vessel, shofich minayayin lechatsi hahin benachas. Ein kan ufya. When you're starting from a large vessel into a small vessel, you're going to pour more slowly. And as a result of that, you're not going to have, as a result of the slow pouring, you're not going to have the foam head. Therefore, that shita will say, things shall be not less nor any more. The Gemara continues. Omar Mar, this volcano shape has been used, and we explain this under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. Situtim mehamokor d'li'el. These are quotes from the original Tanaic source above. So we have these quotes here, and a few lines later you'll see again this volcano marking. Omar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hoyu shom hin. Rabbi Shimon said there was no hin used in the daily service of the Beis HaMikdash, or in the common service of the Beis HaMikdash. So how can you, and he's addressing the earlier Tanaic opinions in the source, how can you account for one of the seven vessels, the hin, when it wasn't used? So the Gemara says, Shapir Kormelahu Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon is making a good point to the Rabbanan. What do they respond? The Rabbanan. You see, we've squiggle underlined the Rabbanan. We use this squiggle underlining marking in addition to other emphasis purposes. It's used to indicate a back and forth discussion between several opinions. So here you have the Rabbanan saying back, Have hin. There was a hin d'avat Moshe l'shemen ha-mishcha when the special anointing oil was prepared by Moshe Rabbeinu. This was a special oil prepared to anoint vessels, Kohen Godols, and kings in the future. He prepared this material called the shemen ha-mishcha, and he prepared a hin quantity of it. D'chtiv v'shemen zayis hin. So, as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, there was a hin. The hin was a measure that was once necessary. Mor Savar, the Rabbi Shimon holds, Kevon de Lidoros lo havitzorach, since it was not used on a regular basis. It was used primarily, the shemen that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared was used primarily to anoint the Mishkan and the service vessels, and in the future it may have been used from time to time, but it was not used on a regular ongoing basis. And it was made only once in history. Lefi Shahu the Avdei, it was made for at that moment the Ignis and was put out of service. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, I can't count it as one of the seven lach vessels. The idoch the Rabbanan came on the Havehave. The Rabbanan said, well, since it once appeared, it was there, and therefore it deserves to be counted as one of the seven vessels. Omar Mar, this too is a quote, and we have a little arrow in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating that this is a quote from above. All you have to do is find the parallel arrow, and if you skim up to the top line, you will notice, there it is, the Esmi Avi Tachtov. As far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, where the hin is not to be counted, because it was only a one-time-in-history vessel, what shall I bring in its stead? In other words, Rabbi Shimon seems to be concerned that I'm deleting one of the seven vessels, so I'm compelled to find something to replace it. So the Gemara asks, Lo sagila de lo mayo, is it not enough that he doesn't add one? In other words, what is so compelling here that causes him to need to add a seventh vessel? The Gemara answers, Kidoma Ravina, like Ravina says elsewhere, Gemiri, we have an oral tradition, Shte Smichos Betzibor, that there are two occasions where a public sacrifice needs the hand placing on the heads of those animals. In general, public sacrifices don't require the smicha process, but there are two cases where public sacrifices do, and that's based on an oral tradition. Hachanami, Gemiri, so too in the context of vessels, we also have an oral tradition to Sheva Midos Shelacho Yubim Mikdash, that there were seven liquid measure vessels. As a result of this oral tradition of having seven, so Rabbi Shimon had to account for an additional one if he's going to delete the hin. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Oimer, Shinsos Hoyu Behin. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, there was a hin vessel that had notches on the side, or markers on the side, indicating where the half hin is, and the shlishes hin, down to the lowest quantity. As far as Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok is concerned, it seems that he didn't have a series of vessels. He seemed to have one large vessel with markers on the side. So the Gemara asks, the less lay sheva midos, does he not hold from this oral tradition of seven measures? So to answer this, there are two approaches. One, Leslie. In fact, he doesn't have this as part of his oral tradition, so he wasn't compelled to account for seven separate vessels. The boy is saying, Ma, another approach is, there, he does have a tradition of seven. However, my sheva midos, what's meant by seven midos? Sheva medidos, seven measurings. In other words, he has a tradition of to account for seven in the realm of measures. However, his tradition does not include seven separate vessels, but rather seven quantities of measuring. Therefore, by having one hin size vessel, the hin is the name of the largest measure, and notches on the side indicating different numbers, different types of measures, it's sufficient that he has seven different measures accounted for in this singular vessel. And that's accomplished by having the notches or the marks on the side of the vessel indicating the respective quantities. As we go on into the next Mishnah, we see a new geometric form. We have a house marking, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we feature the house, and have indicated Midois Halach. These are names of the different measures. In this Mishnah, the measures will be presented starting with small measures, and working your way up, and then toward the end of the Mishnah, the order will reverse. Starting with a larger, the Shisha, which you could see toward the end, going down to the Shloisha. The Mishnah will tell us what each measure was used for. Revius, the Revius Halug, Mahoy Sumashameshes, what was it used for? Answer, Revius, Mayim Lemetzora, or Revius, Shemen Lenozir. To measure the quarter Revius of water used in the Metzora process, and the Revius Shemen for the Nozir. Chatzi lug mahoyo meshamish. Answer: Chatzi lug mayim lesoito. The chatzi lug shemen letoido. The half lug quantity used for the sota, the woman, the married woman suspicious of immorality, and there was water that was used in the taras sota process, and a chatzi lug of oil for the korban toido. Ubalug hoya mode l'chol hamenachos. The lug was a standard measure, or a popular measure, if you will, for most meal offerings. Afilu mincho. Now we have a little aleph here. This indicates that there will be another opinion on what we're about to learn. So the first opinion is afilu mincho shel shishim isaron no sein lo shishim lug. This opinion says that for every isaron, which is a dry measure of mincha flour, for every isaron of flour, there has to be a corresponding lug of oil. Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov Oimer, afilu mincha shel shishim isaron ein lo ela luga. He holds that even a large mincha of 60 isaron, all you need to have is one lug of oil. In other words, he does not agree with the Tanakhama that for every isaron there is an additional lug, but rather the mincha demands a one lug quantity of oil, regardless of the size of the mincha, up till 60 isaron. There is significance in this number 60 isaron, but we are not going to get into that in this context. Shneamar, and the pasuk says, La mincha velug shemen, that for a mincha, regardless of its size, one lug of oil. There was a measure called Shisha is six lug, which is half a hin, chatzi hin, we've seen before. So the chatzi hin measure was lepar. That's for a cow sacrifice. So the amount of liquid that's brought for that, the amount of wine that's measured for the par, is six hin of wine. Six lug of wine, which is half a hin. The arba'a, four, is a reference to four lug, which is also called shlishis ahin. A hin was 12 lug, so a third of 12 is four lug. That's called arba'a, four lug, la'il, for a ram offering. And ushloisha lekevis, and three lug, which is a revius ahin, for a sheep offering. Shloisha umechza l'menoira chatzi lug l'chol ner. This amount is not a reference to one of the measuring vessels, hence you don't see a house marking around it, but rather, since we're getting into the different measures of liquids used in the context of the Beis HaMikdash service, this is mentioned as well. And that point is brought out in the Shita Mekubetzis. So when it comes to the menorah, which had seven candles to it, each candle holding half a lug, so 3.5 lug were necessary for the seven candles. And that's what the Mishnah says when it says chatzi lug l'chol ner. Each ner held half a lug. So 7 times a half gives you 3.5 lug. We have a new geometric form, a crown marking. This is explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have this shape around the expression Yosef Rebbe. Rebbe was seated and then raises a question. So you'll see one over here, and on Amud Beis you'll see another one of these markings. These are She'elois Rebbe, Rebbe's questions, Lama Nimshecha HaRavius V'Chatzi Halug. Why was it necessary to sanctify with the oil anointing these vessels, the Ravius Halug and the Chatzi Halug measures? there is an assumption here, and of course a correct assumption, that all the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. We made a brief reference to this idea before when we spoke about the Hin vessel that was used for measuring the Shemen HaMishcha in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amongst the different vessels were the Revius and the Revius Halug and the Chatzi Lug measures. The question is, what was the significance of needing to sanctify them? It may be pointed out that in general, when we speak about a service vessel being sanctified, that means that the item placed into the interior of such a service vessel, the item becomes sanctified, gains what we call kedushas aguf, an inherent type of holiness or sanctity. That would mean, then, that the vessel is responsible for the sanctification of that particular item. So what we want to look at, and what Rebbe's question is, he focuses on the Revius Halug and the Chatzi Halug measures. Is it so that that which was placed into them gained their respective sanctities by virtue of their being in these vessels? So let's see. Yosef Rebbe v'kokashyalei. Rebbe was seated and was bothered by the following. Revius loma nimshecha. Why was the Revius sanctified? Now we saw in the Mishnah a reference to the Revius being used as a measure for the mayim of the Mitzora and for the loaves for the Shemen LeNozir. It's really a reference to the oil used for the loaves, the meal offerings that a Nozir would bring. So Rebbe focuses on these examples and is wondering, why was there necessity to have a sanctification? Let's not confuse ourselves. There is a difference between the issue of raw measuring, simple need to measure, and this issue of Rebbe, the sanctification of the vessel. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, there was a need to measure these things, the Revius Halug for the Mayim Mitzora and the Revius for the Shemen LeNozir. But even though there was a need to measure, does that necessarily mean there was a need to have those vessels sanctified? So the Gemara, Rebbe asks, why was the Revius sanctified? E Mitzora, if it's for the purpose of the Mitzora water that the Mishnah made reference to, there was a Revius of Mayim. Now, what was that water used for? It was used for part of the purification process of the Mitzora involved the slaughtering of birds over a quantity of water, an amount of water that the blood of the bird would flow into this water, and you would be able to still see the presence of blood. If you have a large amount of water, the blood will become so diluted that you wouldn't notice it. So the Chachamim came to the conclusion that a Revius quantity of water is the quantity whereby you can slaughter these birds, these Mitzora, the Mitzora bird, we'll say, for the Mitzora purification. And when that bird is slaughtered, its blood goes into a Revius of water. The water will be noticeably blood stained, or blood presence in the water. The truth is that that process did not take place in the Beis HaMikdash, and as such, you're dealing with something that has nothing to do with sanctity. So the Gemara says, if for the Mitzora, if the sanctification of the vessel were needed for the Mitzora process that we just described, well, chutz means outside. That took place outside the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the issue of sanctity doesn't arise. V'i nazir, and if it's in order to sanctify the oil that was used for the loaves brought by a nazir, well, the lechem nazir b'shchitas ayil hu dekodesh. The breads brought by the nazir gained their sanctification not through vessels, but rather through the slaughtering of the ayil, the ram sacrifice that the nazir brought. So there's no need to have some kind of previous sanctification of the oil, when the oil, as part of the baked loaf, would gain its sanctity through the slaughtering of the ayil. Once again, then, what was the need for the sanctification of the Revius? Noting again, we're not asking what was the Revius used for by way of measuring, but what was the need for its being sanctified? Omarle, Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya answers, he comes to the rescue to answer Rabbi's question. He says, Sheba means through it, through the Revius Halug, Hoya Modeid L'chavite Koyen Godol, Revius Shemen L'chol Chala V'chala. The Kohen Gadol brought a daily meal offering called the Chavite Kohen Gadol. The Chavite Kohen Gadol was an offering he brought on a daily basis made of 12 loaves. 6 were offered in the morning and 6 were burnt on the Mizbeach in the afternoon. For the entire amount, for the entire 12 loaves, he needed 3 lug of oil. For half of the loaves, for 6 of the loaves, 1.5 lug were necessary. So how many, if you divide 1.5 by 6, how much oil is there per loaf? So you take the 1.5 lug, that also is equal to 6 quarters. 6 quarters is 1.5. And that's what Rabbi Chiya says, he would use the quarter lug to measure the amount of oil per loaf. That's what he says here. He says, Revius Shemen l'chol chala v'chala. Upon hearing this, Rebbe responded with a word of praise, quoting a pasuk, and we have a double underline highlighting this expression, kori ole, and on the outside margin, we've indicated our use of this double underline, shvochim l'mi sheposar ha-she'elos, praises for the one who solves the questions. So the question is now solved. Kori ole, Rebbe refers to Rebbe Chiya the following pasuk, me'eretz merchok ish atzasi, from a distant land, Rebbe Chiya came to Eretz Yisrael from Bovel. He came from a distant land. Ish atzasi, the man of my counsel. In other words, Rabbi Chiya helped Rebbe. Chatzi lug mahu mishamish. We saw that the chatzi lug was a measuring vessel, and the Mishnah mentioned what it was used for. We saw in the Mishnah the chatzi lug. We see if you look back at the Mishnah, you'll see our house marking immediately, and it was used for the chatzi lug mayim lesoitin, the chatzi lug shemen letoida. The chatzi lug, being one of the Beis HaMikdash service vessels, was also sanctified with the shemen hamishcha. Yosef Rebbe v'kakashile, Rebbe was once again seated and bothered, was asking, chatzi lug loma nimshcha, why was there a necessity of having it anointed, namely sanctified? E soita. If you think it's referring to the water that was used in the sota process, the sota water was drawn from the kiyor, from the tank of water that sat in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That kiyor was itself a service vessel that bestowed sanctity upon the contents, the water contents of this kiyor water tank. So the Gemara says, if you think that we're talking about the sanctification of the chatzi lug was for the sanctification of the chatzi lug of water used for the sota process, but the sota water was drawn from the kiyor. V'chi chulin hu tetzrichi l'kedushi mayim kedoshim ksiv. Do you think that the water used for the sota process was water drawn from a mundane source that it now needed to be sanctified? Not so. The sota water was drawn from the kiyor. That's called mayim kedoshim, holy water. And as such, it didn't need to have any additional sanctification. So to suggest that the chatzi lug, which was used to measure the sota water, needed to be sanctified to bestow sanctity upon the sota water, not so. E toida, this too was mentioned in the Mishnah, that the chatzi lug was used for the shemen, for the toda loaves. Well, if you think that there was a need to sanctify the oil because of its use as part of the baking of the toda loaves, lachmei toida b'shchitas toda hu dekachi, the toda loaves gained their sanctity through the slaughtering of the animal offering that was known as the korban toda. The loaves came and accompanied the korban toda that was sacrificed, that was slaughtered and subsequently sacrificed. So the the Todah animal, its slaughtering is what bestowed sanctity upon the Todah loaves. Hence, no need for the vessel to bestow sanctity upon the oil used in preparing those loaves. Omar le Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Rabbi asked the question, and Rabbi's son here comes to the rescue. He says, Sheboi hoyo mechalek chatzi lug shemen l'chol ner v'ner. The chatzi lug was used for measuring out the half lug of oil per candle. We referred to this earlier. We saw this mentioned at the end of the Mishnah, and therefore the oil that was placed into this chatzi lug measure in anticipation of use for the menorah, that's what it needed sanctification for. Apparently you see from here that the oil poured into the menorah would have to have been sanctified oil. So its sanctity is gained by placing, by having it placed into this chatzi lug measure. Omar lo, Rebbe responded, and you can see we have the double underline under this expression, Omar lo, because once again, you're going to have here a complimentary remark to someone who solved a problem. Ner Yisrael kachoya. He addresses his son, calling him the candle of Israel. He says, that in fact is the way it was. That's his word of compliment to his son for solving the problem. Omar Rebbe Yochanan Omar Rebbe. Here we have a topic, topic heading on the outside margin. Let us read it together. Ner shikofsa be'emtza halayla, the ner of the menorah that of the Beis Hamikdash that went out prematurely, middle of the night. Medashanim oso, we clean it out, the wicks and the residue oil. The choizrin umadliken oso, and then we relight it. Kamo shemen samim bo. How much oil is to be placed at this point? After all, it did burn already a while, and now we're going to be relighting it. How much oil? So one possibility, Aleph kemido rishona, namely a chatzi lug. You put in the original chatzi lug oil. A second possibility is oi kfi shinish arlidlok, or you calculate how much oil is needed to burn for the balance of the time, namely something obviously less than a chatzi lug, because it already burnt for a while. So Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi that says, Ner shikofsa nijan hashemen nichna psila. Nichan, where dishun has to do with ashes, generally speaking, but in this case it means it's cleaned out from its oil and the wick. Ketzad oise, what do they do? Metiva, they prepare it, they clean it out. Venosein bo shemen, and they put oil in, umadlika, and they rekindle it. Yosef Rabbi Zera, v'komabaya lei. Rabbi Zera was seated. A very similar expression that we saw before in the context of Rebbe. So what we've done here with our markings, we've used similarly the crown form in, because of the similarity of structure. So Rabbi Zera was seated, v'komabaya lei, and was asking, Kishu noisein ba shemen, when they would replace the oil, kemida rishona, like the original quantity, the chatzi lug, oi kemoi shechosra, or taking into account the amount that was diminished. Omar Rabbi Yirmiya, he answers, pshita de kemida rishona, it's obvious that you would have to put in the original quantity, the chatzi lug, the ikama shechosra, if you were to put in the amount that was diminished, minoya dinon machiser, how would you know exactly how much was diminished? V'chikemal demeshayer lei, and if you say, well, you approximate it, im kain, if you're going to be involved with approximating, then im kain sheva midos. We have been speaking about seven measures. Well, nofish luhu midos tufa, then you're going to need many, many, many more liquid vessels for measuring. As a result of Rabbi Yirmiyah's certainty about the matter and his answer, meaning that because we know that there are only seven vessels for liquid measures, it must mean that the amount of oil that was replaced into the into the menorah was the oil that you would fill into a chatzi lug measuring vessel. Hence, when the original question was asked, is it like mido rishona or kamo shechosra? Obviously, it's kamido rishona, the original chatzi lug amount. Well, upon hearing this, kori ole, it was Rabbi Zera referred to Rabbi Yirmiyah. The hadorocha tzlach rechav al dvar emes va'anvot tzedek. The pasuk indicating the glory bestowed upon one who speaks the truth and one who is of a modest nature. Itmar nami amar biyavo amar biyochanan. The Amri law. Another version is Omar Rabbi Hanino Omar Rabbi. Ner shikofso nichan hashemen nichano apsila. A ner of the menorah, a candle of the menorah that went out, the shemen and wick are removed. Ketzad oise, how are they to proceed? Mitiva v'nosin bo shemen kamido rishona umadlika. And what we've done with our markings, we've dashed, underlined the kamido rishona, because this is the main point in this, in the last quote, where we brought in these names, but introduced it with the phrase itmar nami. Nami meaning of also. In other words, just like Rabbi Yirmiyah resolved before that the measure is according to the original amount, so to these opinions address the same scenario and say that the amount of oil is kamido rishona, like the original amount. At this point in the Gemara, you'll notice there is a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new idea. The nosei, the topic heading here, is as follows. Ner, and the nosei, of course, is in the outside margin. We've written in the following. Ner sheba migdash shel prokim hoya. The ner of the Beis HaMikdash, the candle of the menorah, was shel prokim. Now, this expression, shel prokim, in and of itself, is something that is subject to controversy. There's a machloikis tanoim im haneros hoyu chelik bilti nifrad meha menorah o hoya efsherus lesalkon mamish. There's a machloikis as to the ner. We can say that the ner, with regard to the menorah is the candelabra that sat, the seven-branch candelabra that sat in the heichal. The ner is the uppermost part of each branch, which essentially was a type of cup that contained, that you would, into which you would pour the oil and place the wicks. So the ner is the receptacle that held the oil and the wicks. This sukkah will deal with the construction of the menorah, and specifically the construction of the neros, these receptacles at the top of the menorah. And as we mentioned, were they part of the solid mass that was used in making the menorah? The menorah, the pasuk says, was miksha. He was miksha means from one solid piece of gold. So that when making the menorah with its central stem and six additional branches, it was all formed from one solid piece of gold. Did this requirement of a solid piece of gold extend to include the cups at the top that held the oil? Part of what we have to consider is that these cups needed to be cleaned out on a daily basis from the previous day's kindling. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Breder of Yehuda, Omar Rav Sheshes. Ner shebemikdash shel prokim havei. The ner of the Beis HaMikdash was shel prokim. Now that means, for our purposes, that it was not removable. It was part of the solid mass of the menorah. However, the concept of shel prokim would mean that it had a, it was connected by a very thin, a thin piece of gold that came from the same singular mass. The connection point of the cups to the menorah was a thin connection, whereby you could, where the gold was malleable, and you could bend the cups. Actually, you can bend them over, enabling you to scoop out or to clean out, or actually to have all the contents, the residue of those cups spill out, because you were able to turn them over and clean them out. No one here ever suggests that that one would pick up the entire menorah and turn it over on its head. That's for sure not. The question right now is, how was the cleaning out of the cups containing the residual oil and wicks, how was that to be accomplished? So Rav Sheshes tells us that the nair was part of the singular mass called the mikshah. Shel prokim have means that it was had a very thin connection to the rest, to the basic menorah, and could be bent over. The cups could be bent over and hence cleaned out. Kosova, Rav Sheshes is of the opinion, kiksiv, kikar u'mikshah, when the posuk refers to kikar is a measure of gold, u'mikshah meaning solid mass, you take a kikar quantity of gold and fashion from that the menorah, that expression of kikar u'mikshah a menorah v'nei rosel ksiv, it's referring not only to the basic menorah, the main stem and branches, but nei rosel as well. We've dashed underline nei rosel for emphasis purposes, as we'll see later. Kevon de Mibaya Hatova, since the menorah required a daily cleaning, Hatova, making literally, Hatova means from the word tov, to make it nice, to make it good, it needed a daily cleaning, Ilav de Prokim Havi, if it wasn't in this fashion, which we described with the ability to be bent over, Lohave Mitaivale, one would have been unable to clean it out. The Gemara now raises a kasha on Rav Sheshes from a Tanaic source. Meisve, ketzad oise, how is the cleaning to take place? Misalkon, and we've dashed underlined the word misalkon, that's the key word in this source. The candles were removed from the menorah, from the candelabra itself, umenichon boil, umekanchon besfoig, they were placed in the oil, and they were mekanchon, cleaned out with a sfog, a type of sponge, v'nosein bohen shemen umadlikon, and then the oil, after they were cleaned out, new oil was replaced, and they would be kindled. That is a question, because you see from here, misalkon, and the word misalkon comes into contrast with what was mentioned before, where we said that the neros were part of the mikshah. The Gemara responds, who, the Amar, namely Rav Sheshes, says, ki hai tano, he too has a Tanaic authority to base himself on, the Sanya, the following source. This source, after we read the first two words, you're going to notice a bracketed section. The reason for this is for skipping purposes, because it contains an expression that needs refinement, and the corrected expression is what we will read immediately after the brackets. So, we say that Rav Sheshes, who said that the Neros are part of the menorah itself, goes like the following Tanaic authority. Desanyo, Hachomim, Oimrim, now we skip, Lo Hoysa Zoza Mimakoma. The candles, the Neros could not be removed from their spot. Namely, they were part and parcel, they were a single unit with the rest of the menorah. Now let's reread the source with the full text. Chachamim omrim lo hoyu mezizin oisa mimekoma. The Chachamim say they would not remove the neros from their spot. Well, you're saying they would not remove them. Michlal di boyale lizuzo mosim eziz lo. Are you suggesting that if they wanted to remove them, they could remove them from their spot? But we understand that this Chachamim supports Rav Sheshes' opinion. Obviously, the Chachamim then talk about something that could not be removed from their location. Elo Emo, rather say, more accurately, Lo Hoysa Zaza Mimakoma. Meaning it could not be moved from its spot. Uman Chachamim, who is this Chachamim? Answer, Reb Elozer, Reb Tzadok, he. This Chachamim is the Shita of Reb Elozer, Reb Tzadok. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source featuring Reb Elozer, Reb Tzadok. Reb Elozer, Reb Tzadok, Omer, Kemintas Shel Zov, Hoya Lo Al Gabo. On the top of the candles, of the oil receptacles, we refer to candles as using the word ner, maybe as a translation, we use the word candle, but it means the oil receptacle bowls at the top of the menorah had a sort of tas. A tas is a type of plate on top of it, made of gold, a lid possibly. That's Kamintas Shel Zov Hoyalo Al Gabo, that was on top. Kishumativa, when he needed to clean it out, Dochako Klape Piha. This lid could be slid on the top of the menorah in two directions, so that when they needed to clean it out, it would be pushed Klape Piha. Kishu nosein ba shemen, after it was cleaned out and they would fill it with oil, dochako klape rosha, it would then be pushed into the other direction. So that you can see that the according to this approach, the menorah, the lids themselves, or let's say more accurately, the neros themselves were part of the menorah itself, and as far as the cleaning process is concerned, this little lid would be slid back and forth as necessary. Ubitlukta dahani tanoi. The machlokis that we've been speaking about just now, about the neros, are they part of the miksha, of the solid mass, of the basic candelabra, the menorah itself, or were they separate entities, is featured in the following machlokis tanoim. Disanya, menorah v'neirosel. Notice we've dashed underlined v'neirosel. This is the main point of bringing in this particular source. We want to know what was the nature of the neros of the menorah. So this first opinion says menorah v'neirosel bos min hakikar. They came from that original mass of gold. However, v'ein malkocheo u'machdosel min hakikar. We saw the pasuk before mentioned kikar u'miksha, meaning the kikar was a quantity of gold that was a quantity of solid gold, and from it something was fashioned. So according to this opinion, the menorah and the neros were fashioned from it, indicating that the neros were part of that solid mass. However, v'ein malkocheo u'machdosel min hakikar. These are names of vessels that were used for servicing the menorah. The melkochayim, the malkochel, and the machtois, different pans, these were not part of the kikar. Even though the Torah, in describing the manufacture of the construction of the menorah, it makes reference to these additional service vessels, nevertheless, they were not part of that solid mass of kikar, quantity of gold. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, menorah hoisabo min hakikar, veloi neiro seho malkochel machtosabos min hakikar. Rabbi Nechemia says that only the basic menorah with its six branches was part of the kikar, but not, and you can see with our markings how we've squiggle lined the word velo to bring, to highlight that is with a separate marking and the dashed underline Nerosel, so we see the low Nerosel emphasized, and as well the Malkuchel Machdosel, they were not part of the Kikar. B'mai Komiflugi, what's the underlying point of Machlokis, what's the basis, we'll say, of the Machlokis that we just learned? B'hai Kro, their Machlokis is traced back to a difference in understanding of a pasuk. Desanya, the pasuk says kikar zahav tohor yasa osa. This is in the context of the formation of the menorah. Lomadnu shebo mina kikar. From this pasuk, we learn that the menorah is fashioned from a kikar of zahav. Minayin l'rabo isneirosel. Notice with our markings, we've again emphasized with a squiggle underline l'rabois and dashed underline neirosel to include the neros. From where do we know to include the neros as part of the kikar? Tamud lomar es kol hakelim ho'ele. That's a posit that would be of an inclusive nature, meaning in all of these vessels. Yochol sheni marbe af malkochel machtosel. Should I include even these other accessory vessels as well? These vessels that were used as part of the cleaning, they were used to clean the menorah. Tamud lomar oisa. The word oisa is a limitation expression. Divrei Rabbi Nechemia. So from this source, you see that there is a pasuk over which you can see a Tanaic controversy arising. The opinion that was presented in this source says that the neros are included through the expression es kol hakelim eile. If you disagree with this, you will say that the neros are not included in this pasuk. in other words, as kol hakeinim ve'eileh, which is used to include something along with the kikar, you will say that we do not learn the pasuk that way. Kashya de Rabbi Nechemya ad Rabbi Nechemya. We seem to have a contradiction in Rabbi Nechemya, though. If you notice, we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This arrow, and then you look at the arrow above it, you'll see there Rabbi Nechemya is authoring the source that said Larabos Nerosel. If you glance to the arrow above that, you'll see that Rabbi Nechemya appeared as the Tana holding Lo Neroseha. So, what's Rabbi Nechemya's real opinion? Are the Neros included as part of the solid mass or not? So the Gemara says, it's not that there is a contradiction within Rabbi Nechemya, but rather, Trei Tanoi Valibo de Rabbi Nechemya. There are two versions who present Rabbi Nechemya. The source that we were just dealing with continues. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korch Omer, Menorah bo min hakikar. The menorah comes from that solid mass, V'ein, Malkochel, Machtosel. And here we've dashed underline Veneroseha. We should emphasize we've squiggled V'ein and dashed underline Nerosel. This is that other opinion that says that the Neros were not part of that solid mass. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. What do I do with this seemingly inclusive expression that we had before? Answer, Shiu Kalim Shel Zahav. Simply to tell me that they should be made of gold. So as far as that's concerned, that seems to be questionable, that I need the pasuk to tell me they're to be made of gold. Zahav? As far as gold, that's said explicitly. I don't need an inclusive expression to include that. The pasuk says, we said behed yoksiv bo, it says regarding that explicitly, v'yosiso es nerosel shivav elo es nerosel v'yur el ever ponel umalkechel machosel zahov tahor. So you see, the word Zohov Tahor in the context of making of the menorah. So I don't need to tell me through an inclusive pasuk and a simple allusion, namely through Eskola Kelim O'Eile, that it's to be made of gold. When this pasuk speaks about all of the vessels, including the Malkochel, the Machtosel, they're all made of gold, as it says explicitly, Zohov Tahor. The Gemara answers, Lo Nitzrucha, I do need this Eskola Kelim Eila to include something. Elo Lepi Neros, to tell me about the rim of the Neros. Salkadai Tachamino, Hoyo Pi Neros Ashuri Mishchar. Since the rim of the Neros become darkened by the carbon accumulation through the burning of the wicks, Hatoru Choso Amamonon Shel Yisrael. One might think that in general, there is this concept that the Torah cares for, is a particular about public funds, and then we'll say not having them go to waste. And since this part of the menorah would be subject to constant, we'll call it possibly erosion or depreciation through the accumulation of the blackness on the rim, the levid zav kaldehu, and therefore make it of a lesser quality gold, any kind of gold, as opposed to what the pasuk says of pure gold. Komash Malan, it was necessary through the pasuk of Eskola Ha'ele to include the Pi Haneros as being made from the Zohov Tor as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.